Hot 102.7.
Playing Joburg's best old school and R&B.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, your partner with sector expertise and tailored solutions to help you grow with purpose and ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider.
Hot 102.7,
just after 6 o'clock, and a very warm welcome for the next hour. Financial information that helps you make sense of the economy and build your wealth. I'm Jeremy Maggs. First, the day in a snapshot. Resource stocks taking a bit of a beating on the JSE today. The Rand mostly range-bound and bullion is mostly flat. Coming up on the program, side hustles, cash and clout, what Gen Z really wants from the economy. New labor laws, big shifts, what South Africa's workforce needs to know right now. Cape Town's skyline is transforming with a mixed-use boom. The emotional intelligence of wealth. And Eastern Platinum is the latest miner to suffer a cyber attack. It's not the first time the mining industry has been hit. That's all to come. Let's start the show.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, you might be aware that South Africa's cabinet has approved the National Labour Migration Policy and the Employment Services Amendment Bill. Two major labor reforms that will reshape how foreign workers are employed in this country. These policies introduce sector-specific quotas on foreign nationals and enforce stricter penalties for non-compliance. It's a move, government says, is aimed at balancing economic inclusion, protecting jobs for locals, as well as encouraging skills transfer. All well and good. But what does this mean for employers, for foreign nationals themselves, and the wider economy? I'm going to talk now to John Buerta, who's Joint Chief Executive of Global Business Solutions, a leading voice on employment and labor strategy. John, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Just a little bit of clarity in brief. The key changes introduced by these two bills, what are they and why should we be concerned about them?
Good day to you, Jeremy, and the listeners. I mean, the first big issue is a philosophical shift away from, you know, South Africa's relatively open approach historically to labor migration. And that particular shift holds significant impacts on employers that employ foreign nationals. Effectively, they'll have to perform a due diligence on the foreign nationals that they have, and then use this legislation in order to ensure that they don't fall foul of the law.
Government says, and if I've read this, correct me, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, government says it'll help protect jobs for South Africans. In your view, then, does it strike the right balance, or is there a chance it could risk hurting businesses?
My personal view is that there are definitely jobs in South Africa that could be filled with South African citizens and help address the unemployment crisis. Of course, unemployment went up by 1% in quarter one of this year to 32.9%. So, Jeremy, I believe there are certain positions and a number of these positions at semi-skilled level, unskilled level, and even at junior management level that could quite relatively easily be filled with local colleagues rather than foreign nationals.
So, if we look at sectoral quotas as a bold move, are there sectors, in your opinion, that are most likely to be affected? And the quotas that we're talking about, are they realistic based on current skills and availability, do you think?
Well, let's first talk about the quotas. The Employment Services Amendment Bill give the minister this massive, massive authority to impose not targets, Jeremy, but quotas. So these quotas will apparently be subject to consultation. So you're looking at agriculture, hospitality, tourism, and construction. And those are the starting point because those sectors traditionally employed relatively large numbers of foreign nationals. So the downside of that is with these quotas could come potential investment flight out of the country, because when companies, when multinationals invest in South Africa, obviously they are accompanied by expats to some extent. So that's a potential threat. And then there are certainly skills that are going to be required that might not in the short term be subject to skills transfer. I mean, if you just think of agri, for example, with the seasonal requirements and the immediacy of those requirements, you don't transfer those skills and those numbers very quickly.
So what does a practical, workable skills transfer plan look like, in your opinion? And I guess the challenge would be to avoid it becoming just a box-ticking exercise.
Yes. Look, I mean, effectively, there are boxes to be ticked. So organizations that employ foreign nationals will firstly have to understand how many foreign nationals they employ. Bearing in mind, Jeremy, that like the Department of Labor specifically know exactly how many foreign nationals are employed by virtue of employment equity plans that have been submitted. So companies will have to firstly understand how many of these individuals there are. Then the second issue is this: the legal standing and the legal status of these individuals. Because, for example, the Zimbabwean exemption permit and the Lesotho exemption permits expire the end of November this year. You've also got many people from or foreign nationals that are on work permits and visas. So organizations will have to really get the house in order, understand the legal status, and then how their roles may be affected. Because if they are critical and core skills, Jeremy, and if those companies are absolutely confident that they'll be able to demonstrate that there's a lack of those skills in South Africa, then they will be fine to continue. But they'll first have to demonstrate that they went and advertised, they even used employment services, and they still didn't come up with those skills. So these companies will have to really go about their work properly from a documentary point of view.
And if they don't, the penalties for non-compliance, I understand, have increased sharply. So maybe break down the risks and liabilities for companies who fail to align.
Well, there's significant risks and liabilities, as you say, Jeremy. I mean, the first thing is the Employment Equity Act, you know, has got certain targets that have been set for 2030. And if companies don't make reasonable progress, they can face fines of up to 10% of their annual turnover. So you and I both know that very few organizations have got profit margins that size. Then the previous fines of around 50,000 rand have been replaced by much more onerous fines, also ironically ending up at about 10% of annual turnover for habitual offenders. And we've also heard of the most senior officials of businesses being arrested where these foreign nationals' documentation have not been in place. So, I mean, there are potential criminal, civil, and legal consequences, labor law consequences.
So you mentioned a little earlier the importance of due diligence. What should employers be doing right now to prepare for compliance?
Well, I believe they first of all need to truly ensure that the current foreign nationals' documentation is in place. That's the first thing. The second thing they need to do is to determine which of those foreign nationals' skills would likely be able to be secured locally, so that they can start with that particular process of delineating between, you know, whether or not they've got critical and scarce skills, as in the Government Gazette that sets those out, and they've got a greater chance, therefore, of remaining in South Africa. Or if their skills are not critical and scarce, they're going to have to start transferring whatever they need to transfer in terms of those skills and start looking at how to exit those foreign nationals. And then your whole labor law component comes into that, because your foreign nationals are protected from unfair dismissal as much as anyone else. So these organizations might very well find themselves in a position where they fall foul of potentially unfair dismissals and the like. So these organizations really need to, I think, classify their workers as in critical and scarce skills or not. Secondly, do they have legal documents in place? And then thirdly, what are their prospects of obtaining an extension of their permits and work visas?
John, I'll just need a quick answer in conclusion. From a business confidence perspective then, is there any concern from your end that this could deter foreign investment?
I am concerned about that, Jeremy. You know, we've got many clients who employ foreign nationals, you know, in senior positions in particular, you know, at top senior middle management level, because of their interests financially and also their IP, you know, the proprietary information that they have. So it is a concern from an investment point of view. And then secondly, you know, even at lower levels, there are some very specific skills that potentially, you know, one would lose. But Jeremy, having said that, you know, I also don't see organizations making or taking steps, reasonable steps to transfer skills in many instances. And I think, you know, I think that's where the balance has to be struck.
John Boerter, thank you very much indeed, Joint Chief Executive Officer of Global Business Solutions. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.